I have prepared about three sermons about the essentials to grow in the spiritual life. And this is based on material that I have the privilege to help translating into Spanish. It's a Timothy Project. They have some material for Latin America, and they have it in English and Portuguese, and I was able to help when they made the material available in Spanish. So I'm using some of the material there, how the leaders in some Spanish-speaking countries, they can study. And they use the book of Psalms in order to help the people to grow spiritually. And the first is a life of praise. So I invite you to have your Bible open in Psalm 22. We are going to be reading as I speak. And there are many good reasons to use the Psalms as a material to help us to grow spiritually. And on this psalm, the psalm that we have this evening, I am drawn to this psalm because this psalm is a psalm of despair. It's a complaining that perhaps sometimes we struggle as a person. We see circumstances around, and this is a good example in this psalm. It's used on Good Friday, and it serves as a link between the Old Testament and the story of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help me with the PowerPoint. And as I said, the King David, he was struggling. He was wrestling between good. He said God is good, but he was experiencing bad things in his life, and in the struggle we see here. And then here we see how the events of the crucifixion of Jesus are there. Today we are not going to go through the prophetic side of this psalm. I just want to reflect upon the psalm as a psalm, the complaint of David. Whatever the circumstances, the true worshipers praises God for who he is. We could be sad, we praise God. We could be happy, we praise God. We grow as a Christian when we deliberately focus not on our failures, not on our sadness, our desires, but we focus on God's unchanging nature and character. And that's the reason I love the book of Psalms, because I can identify with the psalmist. The first thing here is that there will be times when we feel alone. Shall we say it together? We believe in Jesus, we surrender our life to him, and we are going to feel forsaken, alone. Have you been there? I have been there. And then the psalmist, the King David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I do not find rest. Even faithful followers like the King David, he felt alone and forsaken. He's one of the great heroes of the Bible. He was a man of faith, and he was imperfect. I am not perfect. And yet, he was faithful. And as I said this morning, I love how he is called in the Bible a man after his own heart. We have no way knowing what are the circumstances around David when he wrote this psalm. But we can see how he felt. In the first verses, we are going to see during the whole psalm 22, three times in this psalm, David has a cycle of like a depression. He's really struggling. And the first thing that we can see here, that we can be real with God. We can be real with God. We can be honest with God, that we struggle. And then one of the books, in the book of Job, we have an example of Job struggling with God. He, like David in Psalm 22, Job in chapter 23, he's honest with God and said, God, I'm struggling here. He recognized how he felt and admitted to God. And God came to answer Job in chapter 38. Sometimes we feel afraid, say, well, I have been disrespectful to God, but we need to be honest with God. Selwyn Hughes put it, when Job faced the reality of his situation and how he really felt, then he was ready for God to speak. But we can notice that God did not give any answer to Job's questions. He gave himself. Job had an encounter with God. He could live without answers when Job knew that God was there. There are questions in our life. Oftentimes we feel, okay, can I ask this to God? I am struggling here, God. Where are you? Where were you? Job was honest. When in 2010, when we were in our previous church, it's hard. I have to confess, it's hard when you go into full-time ministry and you start thinking, did I did it right? I must confess, I have that question. What about my children? And the church was doing great. God was blessing us. But I have that question in my heart, and I saw my children and I said, so, oh, I'm okay, Lord. One day, we have different home groups. And God blessed us with many home groups. And I was teaching in many of those home groups because I wanted to build them up. And then it was one Tuesday, we have a group between 2 and 3 o'clock because that group was for people who were busy. I was busy. I have to pick up my daughter, my youngest daughter. So we said, I start 2 o'clock sharp in this house. And 3 o'clock, we finish. And everyone was rushing to the school to pick up the children. Have you experienced that? And then one Tuesday, I finished. I went to collect my daughter, and we arrived 20 past 3 to the man's, to the house, and we found that we had been broken into. They were, the thieves had been in the house, and my children were shocked. My youngest daughter, you know, everything was upside down, and we discovered that they have taken all the yearly that we have for raining days. And I was thinking, what's going on here? I must confess, the next day I have a conference. And I have to attend the conference. So Cecilia was left behind. And I was driving and said, God, what's going on? That was what I had for my children. Now has been taken. How are we going to survive? Where were you? And then when I was in the conference, Cecilia phoned. You need to come back home. I said, oh, no. The police is here. But he said, whoa, you can give the statement. Come home. When I arrived home, police and many cars around the home. What's going on here? What happened is when two police officers arrived to ask Cecilia statements for the robbery. The police asked Cecilia, are you okay? Say, yes, you need to leave the house now. They discovered that there was a gas leaking. An old pipe we have been living in the house in the months, and we were unable to go into the house for hours. In the evening we went into. And I was thinking, Lord, you have been there. And I heard those whisper saying, I've been looking after you. Maybe that's what we experienced there. It's nothing compared to what you are going through. You lost a loved one. You lost your job. You lost your house. You're struggling with your health. Let me tell you something. This is exactly what the psalmist is experiencing. He's overwhelming. He is overwhelmed and he feels desperate. And you feel, God, God, where are you? We need to remember his faithfulness in his word. Shall we say it together? We need to remember. When you feel forsaken, remember his faithfulness in his word. In verses 3 to 5, we can read this. Put the slide before, please. Verse 3 to 5 says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel's praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted in you and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not be put to shame. Here David is saying, well, you were with the ancestor. He has his Bible. Maybe he didn't have the Bible like we have it. But he knew about Moses. He knew about Joseph. He knew about Abraham. So he said, you were with them. My friends, when we go through very tough times, we need to remember his faithfulness in his word. This book, we have this beautiful, beautiful gift, which is the Bible. If you read it, if you reflect upon it, you will gain strength from it. We need to remember his faithfulness in his word. And that's what David is doing here. He remembers how God has been with his ancestors. When we are lost in our confusion or despair, they say, well, when you find, when you read, when you spend time with the scriptures, something comes to you. Have you experienced that? Something comes. But not only that, David goes through again to another cycle of despair. And he goes in verses 6 to 11. David is feeling completely alone, surrounded by enemies who mock him. And he says, where is your God? Have you ever feel like that? That people say, are you a Christian? Why your family is going through that? Are you a Christian? Why are you experiencing that? Do you believe in God? Where is your God? And David now, he remembered God's faithfulness in his own story. We need to remember God's faithfulness on our own story. He says, yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me. This time David recognized the story of God, his promises in his own life. You know, he recognized that God has always been with him. From the very beginning, he was trained to trust in God. I remember my grandmother when I was troubled, or he saw me that I was down. He said, Freddie, count your blessings. If you are going through tough times, count your blessings. Remember when God has been with you. That's what David is doing. He's remembering God's faithfulness in his own story. God, you have been with me. And when I received the news of what was going on, and I realized that if we didn't have that breaking, the police wouldn't be there. It could have been a big explosion there. The police said, wow. And you know what? We remember as a family that Asla's birthday was like a week, 2 weeks before, and we were looking for matches. And we didn't find the matches. I'm not lying, you can ask them. And then there is a picture to prove that it was. God said, I am looking after you. We need to remember our own story. That's what David said. God, you have been with me. You have been with me. And now David goes, you know, and draws strength from remembering God's blessing, God's faithfulness on his own story. Have you realized, okay, you are going through a tough time, and then you remember, God, you were with me. 10 years ago. You were with me 20 years ago. I invite you to remember God's faithfulness on your own story. Our God is good. Finally, we can remember the truth we know about God and declare our trust in Him. David seems to be asking a simple question. Lord, what can I do? When we struggle, I say, what am I going to do now? I lost my job. What am I going to do now? The doctor told you something. What am I going to do? David describes here a scene that many commentators describe as prophetic. As I told you, we are not going to see that. I want to just to spend time on the personal side of this psalm. And David said, many bulls around me, roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths. Why against me? My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. Lord, what can I do? He said, dogs around me, a pack of villains encircles me. Lord, what can I do? There is no record what's happening with David. He describes his enemies surrounding like wild beasts, roaring lions, pack of dogs. But now he starts remembering something. He starts remembering something about God. David declares that God is his strength. Verse 19 says, but you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Even when he cannot hear God, he cannot see God, he knows that God is there. He knows that God is faithful. And in his darkest moment, he can trust. Friends, we don't know what the future holds for us. I don't know what the future holds for me. But I know that God is my strength. God does not promise to rescue us from hardship, but He does promise to be with us along the way. And we are in good company, amen? God is with us. When we are feeling lost in despair, sometimes we can, all we can do is stand firm and say, God, you are with me. God is good. God is good. All the time? Amen. And sometimes we need to be excited about it. And we live in a society that we are excited for other things. I'm quite sure that some people, maybe they go to churches and we are composed in churches. But I'm telling you, if you are, how many Manchester United here? Arsenal, okay, so I will see him in London shouting, you know, and they say, crazy, or you will be quiet. I don't blame you. Brian is Arsenal. But you see these brothers and sisters there at the stadium, they will be excited. Or no? I will. But we come to the Lord, we are not excited. And people notice. And that's the reason why, you know, I feel, you know, in these African churches, say, God is good. And the people says, all the time. Amen. I think we need to start doing this. I mean, you know, there is something in the excitement to be in the presence of the Lord. It's Sunday, we are going to church. Oh no, it's Sunday, I have to go to church. I don't know what I'm going to do. Who is preaching? Freddie, I better don't go there. Who is leading? Oh, you know, you see, excited. We are coming to worship the Lord. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. Now David starts changing. Now, you know, he starts changing. He is depressed, he's down. And he says, well, Lord, what can I do? I will praise you. I will praise you. And the final verses of this psalm tell us that God's plans are far greater than our expectations. They are beautiful. We don't have time this evening to go through that. We don't have time to unpack these verses. But King David now speaks from the other side of the table. He's forsaken. Now he says, I'm going to praise you. David declares his praises to God and calls to all the assembly to praise the Lord, for the Lord has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. David wrote this psalm 1,000 years before Christ, and he describes the crucifixion. And now, this crucifixion was a specially Roman form of execution. No way that he could know that. But no one else in history like the Romans was so cruel. Yet David describes in such detail the experience of the suffering of Jesus, what he endured on the cross. How that can happen? The Holy Spirit. Why Jesus used those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is that by accident? No. The common answer from the scholars is that God the Father did in fact abandon him. He said, I cannot see it. Jesus, in the last moments of crucifixion, the idea is the sins and guilt of the whole people, my sins, your sins, were on him. And God cannot stand sin. So he has to say, I cannot see it. So when there is sin in churches, when there is sin in families, blessings are not there. Because God cannot stand sin. And now here we see that God's holiness cannot be violated, and therefore the Father must be separated from the Son when he took upon himself the sins of the world. This is considered a great mystery. We don't have time to go through that, but the cross fulfilled David's prophecy. And his suffering on that cross later bring power and honor. He suffered. And then we read in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled and said he felt forsaken, but he carries on. He carries on. David is seeing the future fulfillment of God's covenant promise to Israel. He was foreseeing the death of the Messiah, the victory against death. My friend, we may never get to know why God allows us to experience hardship. I don't know why my family has to experience hardship. You don't know why your family has to experience hardship and loss. But we do know that God has a plan. God has a plan for you and for me. And Jesus set the example. He felt forsaken. Father, what? Where are you? But he was obedient. And the Lord invited us this evening to be obedient. Lord, what can I do? I will praise you. There is power. The person who grows spiritually is the person who goes on to know God in a deep and intimate way. Is the one who can affirm that God is good, even though everything is wrong. God is good. Lord, what can I do? I will praise you. That is power. When if you are playing an instrument here in this church or in your church, you need to surrender everything to Jesus. And when you play an instrument, when you sing, lives will be touched. When you preach here, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. And then believe me, lives are going to be touched because you are praising God. When you are a Sunday school, when you are a deacon, when you are an elder in a church, that is the basic praising. I don't feel like I want to come to church today. You need to praise the Lord. The shorter one, Mr. Catechism, asks the question, what is the chief aim of man? The answer is this. The chief aim of man is to glorify, praise God, and enjoy him forever. That's it. I am preparing myself when Jesus is coming to praise him. And I am praying that I will be worthy to praise him. That is why you are being prepared to praise him day and night, joining the angels. A.W. Tozer suggested that worship was the missing jewel of the evangelical church. In evangelical churches now, we want to serve, we want to do things, we want to do that. We need to be worshipers first. I invite you this evening to think about your praise life. The chief aim of man, the chief aim of women, the chief aim of humanity is to glorify, to praise God and enjoy him forever. I love when people say, I'm looking forward to being in church. I'm looking forward to pray. I'm looking forward for the prayer meeting. And some people, I have to go that. Make me sad. But we cannot push people. Have to come from here. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. When I sing this song, I cry every time because I am called to bless the name of the Lord when I am on top of the world. I am called to blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world all is as it should be. My house is okay, my car is okay, my business is okay, my life is okay. Blessed be your name. But blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there is pain in the offering, blessed, blessed, blessed be your name. God give and take away. Oh, you give and take away. But my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. That is what the psalmist is inviting us to do. And my prayer is that you remember that there will be times when you feel alone, forsaken. But my friends, we need to remember his faithfulness in his word. Read it. I am doing walk to the Bible to invite you to read the Bible. Invite myself to read again my Bible. Here you will find his faithfulness. We need to remember God's faithfulness on our own story. Remember when God has been good to you. Oh, okay, God, I remember you did that for me. You remember you did that for my family. Oh, we need to remember the truth we know about God. God is good. All the time. We need to remember that. We need to count our blessings. The essential for Christian growth is a life of praise. May this church be a church of people who come to praise the name of the Lord. Not because we have to come. Not because we need to tick boxes. But because we love the Lord. And when problems come and you say, Lord, what can I do? Your answer will be, I will praise you. Let us pray. Lord, there are many things in our lives, even tonight. Maybe our children are suffering. Maybe we lost somebody we love. Maybe we are struggling with our finances. Maybe we are struggling with our health. Father, we confess that sometimes we feel forsaken. But thank you for the assurance from your word that that's okay. But help us to remember your faithfulness in your word, your faithfulness in our life. And help us like the King David to remember that we can come to you and declare that you are our strength, our fortress, our Savior. Father, I pray for that person this evening, for this person hearing these words in the internet, that may your Holy Spirit help him or her to understand that we have a wonderful God A God who loves us so much, and we can't come to you. And when we ask, what can we do? We can praise you. We can come to you because you are wonderful and your promise are there. Oh, Father, thank you for the assurance of your word. And we pray that you could help us to be a person who praise your name regarding the circumstances. Thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. Amen.